Station.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. A $40 million project that brings more technology into Northwest Indiana is open for business and is now awaiting an official grand opening. Digital Crossroad opened its million-square-foot campus along Lake Michigan in Hammond, and we spoke with its creator, Tom Dokich, here at the Lakeshore Public Radio studios.
First of all, I'm thrilled to be here. You guys are a staple of what goes on here and in information that flies through you. I'm thrilled to be talking to you about this at this stage. Last time we talked was probably 8 months ago, maybe a while ago.
Yeah.
And we were still in the planning stage. We were still moving through it. But I'm proud to say that the vision of a whole bunch of people, the mayor of Hammond, Tom McDermott, and Governor Holcomb, a bunch of legislators, Ed Soliday, and now Frank Mervan, all these people have come, is about to result in a data center being opened very, very soon at Hammond. Mm-hmm. Our project is 105,000 square feet, and which is not a huge data center by national standards, but it makes us as big and as competitive as anything that's going on in Indiana, and it also enters us into the Chicago market. Mm-hmm. We have 12 megawatts of power going in there, which is a fantastic amount of power in the that NIPSCO has been a great partner with us for, and it's going to be able to serve. We'll be able to serve the largest companies in the world who can come to our data center and spend and put their servers and racks in.
Mm-hmm. When the project was first conceived, when you and all the other people involved in this came up with this, I'm sure that probably finding a way to get Northwest Indiana better connected into the cloud, since that's what a data center basically does, it kind of turns into like the local version of the cloud, although for lots of people, it doesn't have to be just local, it could be anyone. But the idea is that it helps provide the wherewithal so that not only national organizations, if they choose, but local ones can take advantage of this extra computing power that this service can provide, doesn't it?
Absolutely. The amount of fiber, if you look at a map of the United States, fiber goes under rail, and the only natural barrier to rail is Lake Michigan. So it mm-hmm. accumulates right down the street in Northwest Indiana. There's a massive monorail. Well, there's fiber underneath there, but nobody in Northwest Indiana was tapping into it. Very few people were using that. The city of Chesterton and Valparaiso, they have a local loop, but to attract national companies to do national things, there was no way to do it. So what we've done is we've created a fiber network using some rail. The people over at Norfolk Southern were nice enough to sell us some conduit, and we filled it up with a massive amount of rail. So think about it this way. Think about the rail started someplace else, and there were no off-ramps. There was no usage. It wasn't benefiting us in Northwest Indiana in any meaningful way because it would start over in Detroit and go to Chicago without any off-ramps. So it's the equivalent as saying, I'm going to get on I-65 in Gary, and the only time I can get off of I-65 is in Louisville. And there was no benefit to anybody in the state of Indiana the way it was before. What we've mm-hmm. been able to do, we've been able to tap into the local, tap into this long-haul, super expensive, super sophisticated fiber and bring some local benefit to it by making it such that we have off-ramps into Hammond to start.
Mm-hmm. I know that one of the keys, I guess, that the center provides, besides the connection, the connectivity, is data storage. And is that something that was one of the very first things that you all thought of and be able to create Digital Crossroad?
So we wanted to create a profitable, strong, vibrant, transformative company. We weren't looking to have something be ordinary or something be like anybody else. What we've done is made it such that in this, these large companies, and local companies too, but primarily these large hyperscale companies who deliver the cloud to the world, they are able to use our facility in order to do data storage. Mm-hmm. The result should be, we think it is, and it's already started, we're at like 17 employees now, but the result should be that there's going to be a bunch of jobs created. People who are assisting in maintaining the cloud, people who are assisting in maintaining storage, those sorts of things. And we are, and you've hit it right, that this is where we are at. We're sitting on top of this massive amount of fiber that can be used to create the cloud, to create storage. That's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, describe the facility. We know that this is not a big facility physically, but there's a lot of things that are in this one space. I imagine that certainly the objective is to be able to set things up here. What was the situation like in creating this space out there along Lake Michigan?
This is my favorite part of it, because ComEd had the largest coal burning plant in the world at that location, and it was a mess. I mean, it was really, really toxic. A lot of that was going on. What happens is a guy named Simon Beemster-Bohr and Alan Beemster-Bohr were entrepreneurs. They saw that this was a great piece of land, so they cleaned it up. And the end result is that we're going to be able to use this to build a data center. Mm-hmm. This piece of land is uniquely interesting to the data center world, because the lake is so close, we can use it for cooling. The railroad is just far enough away to not cause a problem from a safety perspective. And it's also close enough the way that we can interconnect into fiber that way. Mm-hmm. It's a great, great piece of land right on the Indiana-Illinois border. Governor Holcomb, the legislature, gave Tom McDermott and I he gave us some tax incentives for data centers, passed it in 2019, and it made a difference. National players are taking a look at us.
Now, the facility's up and running, or it technically is. It will be soon, I'm sure. You have the staff that's in there now with what you have. What are the plans, if you have the plans already in works, for the future? Because you have this facility, and you can always bring more people and organizations in, can't you?
Yes, that's exactly right. So if we don't do anything else, we'll have built a mission-critical, independent, wholesale co-location data center in Hammond, Indiana. But that's not where we're stopping. We're building a tech incubator also there. We have the largest flagpole in Chicagoland that's there. We have a veterans park there. The unique properties of the air that comes out of servers has an inordinate amount of CO2 in it, which then creates growth in plants. So we're putting a greenhouse over there. We've got an alternative energy campus that's going in there. By the way, we have another 500,000 square feet of data center that we're hoping to put in there very soon.
Yeah. But there's plenty of room to work out there, and that's, I'm sure, one of the major reasons, aside from all the technical things you've mentioned, that attracted you in particular to the space. The old power plant could be easily torn down and turned into cleaner space, certainly, than it is now, or was back then, I should say, and it is now. And it's also a way to bring more economic development into the city of Hammond.
City of Hammond Economic Development Team, Africa Tarver, Ann Anderson, Phil Talon, have been fantastic. Mm-hmm. That what you just said is much better than I say it. They don't mess around. If they see an opportunity that they like, they go grab it. Our using only union jobs and local tradesmen and local subcontractors has paid off. And the economic boost to Hammond, I think the mayor's office would tell you it's been substantial.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about expansion in your conversations with Mayor McDermott and with his staff, in particular the economic development folks, have they mentioned any other organizations? I'm sure they're always working on something, but they probably are at some point where they're at least letting you know, hey, we've got some people that are interested in being in here. Can't mention who they are yet. They've got some things they have to be able to keep quiet until they can make a move. But is there anything that you know of that that the city is giving you kind of a clue about that they're going to be doing out there besides what you were already doing out there at Digital Crossroad?
So we pass stuff back and forth, and with Mayor McDermott and with his staff, and things we talk to them about things we hear in the industry. They talk to us about what they hear. The Northwest Indiana Forum has been just been wonderful. Heather and her staff, Heather Ennison, her staff have been. They find things. The IEDC has been amazing. But yeah, Tom McDermott has so many things going on, and all these assets that is. So we pass stuff back and forth. They've been a great partner.
Now you're up here in the region on Monday. Make the trip up from Indianapolis to do some work up here as Digital Crossroad opens up. What do you get to be able to do now on these visits up here? Now that you've got offices that you can actually walk into and take up space now.
I see my mom more. My mom still likes to see me, anyways. But I'm up here all week, every week, my wife and kids are my wife's in Indianapolis, but my kids are stretched out a little bit. But I'm up here all week. I have a bunch of family up here. We bought a house up here. We bought a house in Munster. I just finished talking to the Valpo Rotary, and I feel like a cheerleader for Northwest Indiana because going back and forth to Indianapolis, I'm able to translate stuff a little bit. But I love Northwest Indiana. And Northwest Indiana is the best place in the world to live. I mean, we have such a good infrastructure. We have this gorgeous lake. We're not going to run out of water. We can get anywhere. We've got. It'd be nice if our airport were a little bit better. But it's a fantastic place to live.
Tom Dawkins, thank you for spending time with us talking about Digital Crossroad and about the great opportunities that your organization has been able to create up here in Hammond, and in turn how it's going to bring more great creations of other businesses to the region. Thank you very much.
It was fun to do. Thank you.
The official grand opening for the Digital Crossroad Data Center has been postponed from November 18th to a future date because of the coronavirus pandemic, and we will keep you all in the loop as to when it will be safely conducted. Parts of the Midwest have already seen snow, and with this winter weather ahead, gives another layer of challenges for dealing with the pandemic. Side Effects Public Media's Natalie Krebs has a look at how some businesses are getting ready for the change of seasons.
Whitney Seelix and her husband opened Lua Brewery in Des Moines a year ago. It's a spot where you can get a glass of Call It Dreaming or Chronically Late. And so far, Lua is surviving the pandemic. By opening a set of garage doors, the indoor dining area connects to a large patio, so customers can enjoy drinks outdoors in the crisp fall weather, spaced far apart.
The garage doors were always part of the plan, and we are so thankful that they are at this point, because I think it makes people feel a lot safer, you know, having that open airflow.
But Seelix worries about maintaining this business in winter. In the era of COVID-19, she knows closing those doors and cramming in people wall to wall like they did last year is not an option.
Nervous, for sure. I mean, we're, you know, drastically cutting back on costs just in preparation for a slower season.
Seelix isn't the only business owner concerned about what will happen when COVID-19 meets the Midwestern winter. Meg Schneider is with a local economic development group. It used grants to provide heaters to more than 60 local businesses so they can extend patio season. Schneider says the holiday rush during November and December is crucial to a business's bottom line.
If these months that usually help round out a solid year of business and help you through those slower months. If those months are slower as well, I fear that we will end up losing additional businesses come January and February.
That's a problem because public health models predict November and December are when the coronavirus will thrive, with daily case counts and deaths increasing nationwide. Ali Mokhtad is an epidemiologist at the University of Washington. He says the cold weather will drive people indoors where the virus can easily spread.
What we have seen, people are more likely to let down their guards indoors. They take off their mask and they become closer to each other.
Iowa and many parts of the Midwest are already in a vulnerable position. Daily case counts have been trending upward for weeks. Hospitalizations are at record highs. And public health experts are urging state leaders to take action. But Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds has no plans to issue additional restrictions. Earlier this month, she said the state's healthcare system can handle more cases.
We've not approached the peak of our hospital capacity. Our healthcare system in Iowa is strong, and for that we are grateful.
Brent Willett says people in nursing homes will be relying on the strength of that system. He heads an association that represents most Iowa nursing homes. Those homes already have been hit hard by COVID, and he says it will be impossible to keep the virus out of facilities this winter.
We need to be extraordinarily vigilant about infection control in the building. And we need to be extraordinarily vigilant about screening anyone that's gaining access into the building for any reason.
Mokdad says everyone needs to be really careful about who they see this winter.
Unfortunately, this virus is very stubborn, very opportunistic. If we make a mistake, this virus is going to, you know, win and start spreading.
Mokdad says this doesn't mean family holiday parties should be canceled, but participants will need to quarantine 14 days ahead of time. And he says those with severe quarantine fatigue can create a social bubble with a few close friends. Back at Lua Brewery, Whitney Seelix is just hoping Iowans can adapt to some European habits, like using patios year-round.
They're always out there. They'll cover up in blankets and they'll be bundled and they'll just smoke their cigarettes and drink their wine and beer, and I think it's awesome.
Seelix says that's the only way her brewery will get through the tough winter months. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Natalie Krebs.
You're listening to Regionally Speaking on listener-supported Lakeshore Public Radio. Franciscan Health is offering Northwest Indiana residents a way to speak to a physician or a nurse practitioner about a minor illness or injury, something that would be a visit to an urgent care center in the comfort of home. Craig Miller is the Administrative Director of Ambulatory Services with the healthcare group, and he was with us on Regionally Speaking to talk about the service.
We've launched our virtual urgent care out to the community, and it has a lot of benefits. Obviously, with the COVID pandemic and a lot of the other concerns individuals have with going to offices, when you need the care, it's obviously very convenient where you can just dial up our physicians and staff from the comfort of your home or office, and have a virtual appointment to be taken care of.
What illnesses or injuries can be handled by way of a virtual urgent care as opposed to going actually to the urgent care center someplace?
Sure. A lot of just the kind of the illness conditions, fever and some of those, cough and minor illnesses can be addressed. Obviously, if you have a broken bone, it's a little more challenging.
Yeah.
Nothing truly replaces the hands-on care of a provider. But a lot of the basic runny nose, sore throat, allergies, cough, we can see those virtually.
What is the procedure that has been set up here from Franciscan Health if you want to be able to take advantage of this service, and what in turn do you need to do if perhaps maybe you don't need it right away, but you will eventually to be able to take advantage of it?
Absolutely. You can connect with us on our website, Franciscan Alliance. Go to the virtual urgent care, click on the link, and you can immediately go into what's called our virtual waiting room and be seen.
Mm-hmm.
We're typically seeing patients from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily. You can also feel free to call one of our locations, or if you have our portal, MyChart, you can connect with us that way.
Is that a very simple way to be able to do so, especially if you're already established with a primary care physician or other specialists maybe are with Franciscan Health and you're all set up with MyChart? You can do it that way easier? Is that much easier than if you had to start out otherwise?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. If you do get things set up and you get all signed in, so to speak, and you do actually find, well, for example, you have a stomach ache and maybe you're feeling kind of poorly otherwise, it may in turn maybe give you some kind of indications that maybe you're coming down with the flu. and you're having problems, what do you need to do in that case? And how long does the virtual visits usually last if you do take advantage of it?
Obviously, it depends on the conditions and your, we'll call them the chief complaint, the reason for the visit. But, you know, generally, 15 minutes, our physicians or providers will spend a little bit of time getting to understand what the complaint is. In some cases, if we do need to, do a swab or, it requires more hands-on care, we would, ask you to come into one of our locations to be seen in the clinic. But, it's really convenient. You just, whenever you need it, we're there. And generally, we can accommodate the visit right away.
When you get things set up to be able to take advantage of a virtual urgent care appointment, when you get in line here, do you have to set up your way to be in touch with the provider? For example, if it's have to be a Zoom meeting, do you have to have that all set up ahead of time or just simply on the phone?
We do some phone consultations. Ideally, we like to use either folks that have a mobile phone or a tablet, works best, iPad, iPhone, where we just connect with you through the video. And you don't necessarily need Zoom. And so through our Epic and portals with our platform, we can see you. We'll do a check sometime. If you're kind of new to technology, we have staff that will help walk you through. So we make sure that we, can see and hear you clearly when we have the appointment.
Do you find that a lot of people that take advantage of opportunities like this tend to be, under the age of 50 or even some older people that maybe are a bit more tech savvy?
We have a lot of folks that are, I would say, in our senior population that love it. It's convenient for them. They can, they're doing more and more FaceTiming and other things with their technology, with their grandkids and children. So a lot of them enjoy it just because it doesn't require them to get out, drive to the clinic, and they can be seen, right away.
Right.
The other part is obviously, a family with, multiple children. You have one sick, one not, and, with childcare and other issues, it's just easier to do it from the comfort of your home.
I guess the other things that you think about, and certainly at the time when you're not feeling well or if you've hurt yourself slightly, not seriously, that you would actually have to go straight into urgent care, but you think about, is it safe to be able to tell the provider on the phone or on video what your problems are? Is it secure? Tell us how the security system is set up to be able to make sure that your opportunities to talk with the doctor is very secure.
Absolutely, and that's why we work with a company called InTouch, and they provide our technology platform and as well as Epic, which is our EMR with MyChart. We also do the screening questions to make sure that who we're identifying with as the patient is the person we're seeing. So we take that very seriously at Franciscan as well, so we ensure your security.
I guess the other question I have is that if you do take advantage of this way to have a virtual urgent care appointment taken care of, how's it covered under insurance? Is it covered under insurance, or do you have to work these arrangements out to make sure that you are not holding the total cost of this if you can have a deductible or something that you have to face?
Most insurers do pay now for the virtual visit, although we do ask that you check with your insurance, and we can if you contact us. We also have a $49 visit virtually that we market as well, so opportunities for anyone that needs it.
That's it for Regionally Speaking for today. I'm Chris Nolte, and tomorrow, conversations with Post-Tribune reporter Meredith Coleus-Pete and Edgewater Services President and CEO Danita Johnson-Hughes. And we hope you can join us along with other conversations for that.